with the lack of fear, with boldness. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but instead of that, love. And that comes with power, and it comes with the sound mind, good judgment. People who fear are haters and are weak, and their judgment is affected. The Bible tells us the story of the first spy mission of Israel, the first Mossad operation in Numbers 13, which was a failure. When they spied out the land, they came, the Bible says, and they gave the brethren a false report. They said, we were like grasshoppers in the sight of the Canaanites. That was ridiculous. They were not like grasshoppers, because the next generation took the land and they did not have any issue. Why did they think that they were like grasshoppers? Because they did not have a sound mind. Because they had fear, so they did not have power. That happened 3,500 years ago. It is happening today. Because of the weakness and because of the hatred of some people, they can freak out when they see a head cover or an Arabic writing or an Arabic falafel restaurant, because they don't have a sound mind. And they continue to circulate what is false, and we will see some examples that are being circulated on the internet. And that, according to Paul, is not from God, because God did not give us the spirit of fear, but that of power and that of love and that of a sound mind. Do not assume that Muslims do not have a faith. Once again, when you deal with the unsaved, with the non-Christians, like, well, I have the message of salvation and they don't, which means that they don't have any faith, which means they are ready to take whatever message I have for them. This is usually not the case. Especially Muslims, they have a very strong faith and they are deeply rooted in it. So be prepared for a very long conversation with your Muslim neighbor. If you are interested, if you have the right motive in the first place. This is important. Do not lie. Do not fight deception with deception. The internet, the social media, is filled with false stories against Muslims in the accounts of people who claim to be Christians, like this one. Somebody took the time to Photoshop this picture and put it on Facebook under a Christian name, and he said, or she said, that this is in Dearborn. Muslims in Dearborn said, we will kill all Americans. If you can believe this, I advise you not to go online at all, because the internet is filled with scammers, and if you cannot tell from this language that this is a false picture, somebody made it for a specific motive. By the way, this is shared by tens of thousands of people with the angry faces on Facebook and all the kind of comments. Usually from the Christian account, it's more likely than somebody, when somebody is a Christian, quote unquote, it's more likely that that person in the social media is more foul-mouthed and a bigger hater than a non-Christian, which is so ironic. This is falsely made for the evil motive of raising hatred against Arabs and Muslims. Another example, this video was posted 2 years ago. The video is about when ISIS first stormed the Iraqi Air Force Academy in 2014, and they separated the Sunnis from the Shiites, and they murdered all the Shiites, young people who were there to volunteer for the Iraqi Air Force Academy, killing 1,700 ones of them right in front of the cameras. Somebody posted that video in a Christian account under the title Killing of Christians in Iraq by Islamic Terrorists ISIS. I commented on that video. I said, well, Christians are being persecuted every day, everywhere, but this video has nothing to do with it. And I gave the link to the true story, and it was deleted. And so this effort is not part of the solution. This is actually a part of the problem and the answer to the question, why do Muslims hate us? Pray. This is God's work. So it makes sense that you ask God to help you in this work. Pray for patience. Do not expect immediate results when you preach the gospel to anyone, especially for Muslims, whether as an individual, on an individual level, with your neighbor, with your in-law, with your co-worker, or in a ministry level. If your congregation finds the opportunity of ministering to a community of refugees, for example, do not expect immediate results. You will have to invest a lot in developing a relationship with your community before you can introduce the truth of the gospel to them. Pray for wisdom. Your conversation with your Muslim neighbor can be very tricky and can be misinterpreted. At the time when you think that you are bringing the saving message of the gospel to your Muslim friend and that they have to be thankful for that, your Muslim neighbor may think that you're not talking about a faith, you're talking about people. You're not comparing a faith versus a faith, you're comparing people versus people. You are telling your Muslim neighbor, my guys are better than your guys. Which, of course, is not what your intention is. But this is how it can be interpreted. So, it can be very tricky. And put in mind that those Muslims may have been told things about you, just as you've been told things about Muslims, that may influence your view and your Muslim. I have a whole sermon on that called How Muslims View You. And there are so many historical and political and religious factors that affected the way Muslims view Christians, which is inaccurate at all. If you ask any Muslim in Iraq, any Muslim in Iraq, what do you think of Christians? What do you think of the Christian faith? He would say Christians are those who own and operate liquor stores and nightclubs, those who preach violence and wars all the time. No, I'm fine, thank you. I have a conservative family. We love God. We are not interested in the Christian faith. Of course, this does not have anything to do with the Christian faith that we know of. But that's part of the confusion that can happen between you and the non-Christians. Steer the conversation in a way that makes you ask questions about Islam, while boldly tell them about your faith. So do not pretend that you know anything about Islam. Don't tell them, well, since Muhammad was not a prophet, then why do you believe in him? No. Ask him, okay, so what do you think of Muhammad? You think he's a prophet? Why do you think that he's a prophet? What does Islam say about this or that? And I will suggest that you ask three questions in a few minutes, that you narrow down the conversation in a way that makes you ask about Islam and not tell them anything, and take every answer with a grain of salt. Oh, so you are telling me that Islam is peace? What is your proof? Would you show me where is that in the Quran? Can I go look that up and be back to you? While at the same time, be prepared to boldly answer all their questions about the Bible, which, once again, implies that you have to be well-versed in your Bible. Pray for the work. There has always been a tremendous work among Muslims. Muslims have always been coming to Christ. So pray that God would send more laborers to the work as Jesus commanded us. Pray for your Muslim friends. The Bible tells us to lift up the holy hands of prayer for all men, not only Christians. If your Muslim friend is in need, if he or she is sick, there is a job issue, there is a domestic abuse issue, usually Muslims would appreciate you praying for them. And I would advise that, I would suggest that you show them that you love them by praying right in front of them. Love them and show them that you love them. By the way, once again, make sure you introduce the love of Christ before you introduce the truth of the gospel. Jesus served way more people than the people that converted to him or believed in his message. He healed 10 lepers, knowing that only one of them will come back to him. So Jesus' ministry's efficiency rate was 10%. Do not expect to be much better than him. Jesus fed over 5,000 people, and they were not interested in his message. Once they were done, they ate the bread and the fish. They said, okay, now show us a sign. I just fed you. That's why he said, do not labor for the bread that perishes, but labor for the bread that lasts for the eternal life. And that is the Christian call. We are called to love and serve people. Not in an abstract way, of course. We have to introduce the gospel to them, but we have to love and serve anyway. Respect Muslims. The Bible tells us to expect and respect cultural differences simply because they do not look like you or dress like you or eat like you or talk like you does not mean that they are evil. Evil people are evil for different reasons than cultural reasons. We as Christians are not permitted to offend any culture. Paul said, be of no offense to the Jews or to the Greek or to the Church of God. And that covers everybody. A Christian is not permitted to be offended either. We are commanded to walk in love. And Paul says that love bears all things. And so part of the... when Paul said, I have become all things to all men, he was talking culturally, not religiously. That by all means I may be able to save some. And that is the Christian call. That covers the how part. And now, part of the how part, what kind of questions I would suggest that you ask your Muslim friend, or any non-Christian, but specifically Muslims. Ask them about the three P's. The proof of their faith, the path that they are taking in their faith, and the promise that their faith promises them. First, the proof. My Muslim friend, why do you believe in Islam as your way to God?